University Broadcast Studio. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is great to have you with us today on this Thursday, busy news Thursday, breaking news Thursday, as we follow some developments coming from the nation's capital. The Supreme Court back at it again, this time siding with the children of illegal aliens instead of law-abiding American citizens. So we're going to get into that just a little bit later on this hour, but I want you to hear me loud and clear here, folks. There is not a conservative majority on the United States Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is still firmly in the hands of the left, and that is a problem. And I hate to say this because I appreciate, respect President George W. Bush, but the guy knew diddly squat about putting conservatives on the highest court in the land. And we sort of knew that all along when he originally tried to put Harriet Byers on the Supreme Court. Remember that debacle. So Chief Justice John Roberts siding with the liberals to deliver a stunning blow to the Trump administration on this issue of the DACA children, the children of the illegal alien, their offspring, if you will. And this falls comes very close on the heels of the Supreme Court's other crushing blow to the Trump administration regarding the inclusion of gender identity in determining discrimination. That was decided by not only Chief Justice Roberts, but also Neil Gorsuch, who turned out to be a closet liberal. And a lot of people are expressing shock at Justice Gorsuch. However, if you follow me on Twitter, you know what I'm about to say. Back in 2017, I tried to warn everybody about Neil Gorsuch. I know that they were out there trying to convince us that he was one of these rock solid conservatives. But Neil Gorsuch, in my estimation and my research, was not a rock solid conservative. And it turned out that at the time, I was castigated by many in the religious liberty circles. I was attacked by members of the Trump administration. They shut me out because I dared question their decision making. By the way, you want to know who told President Trump that Neil Gorsuch was a stand-up guy in the Trump administration? You want to know who gave Neil Gorsuch to the president and said, "This is your guy, Mr. President"? Vice President Mike Pence did that. Vice President Mike Pence, who as governor of Indiana backtracked on religious freedom legislation because in the face of the rampaging mob, in the face of the cancel culture crowd and the gay rights mob, the gay mafia, Vice President Mike Pence, back when he was governor, backed down. He shied away from this. No, look, this is all there. You can Google it. You can read it for yourself. All that to say, it's a problem. It's a big problem. And the reality is here, folks, if you were voting for President Trump, and let's be honest here, if you go back to the 2016 presidential election, by and large, most Republicans were supporting somebody else along the way. And at the very end, when it came down to Ted Cruz, when it came down to Donald Trump won the day. But he won the day because he went out there and he promised people, and especially the culture conservatives, and by and large, the evangelicals and the conservative Catholics, he promised them that he would be putting rock solid constitutionalists on the Supreme Court. And that's not happening. It's a problem. It's a problem. And the president can only look, the president does not live in that world. I think we can all agree with that. So he's relying on learned opinions. He's relying on his wise men and women in that area to say, okay, Mr. President, here are the people that we think will will be rock solid on these particular constitutional issues. And the president takes their advice. Unfortunately, the president's been getting bad advice. And here we are once again. By the way, I wrote about this, oh gosh, 4 books ago. This was Dispatches from Bitter America. And I wrote in the book about how every major Supreme Court decision, every single one, going all the way back to prayer in school, every single Supreme Court decision based on a culture war issue, leading up to what happened just a few days ago with the decision to make to redefine sex. Every single one of those decisions was made by a justice appointed to the bench by a Republican president. Every single one of them, ladies and gentlemen. Every single one. So what does that tell you? That Republicans are stupid. Got a bad track record. They don't do their homework. And you got to do your homework. We cannot have more mistakes like John Roberts and Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. Can't do it. So you can say what you want to say, and I would, look, welcome dissent here, and you know when you, if you disagree with me, you go right to the top of the call list, because we want to have those discussions. But my concern is this. If that was the reason why you supported Donald Trump was because of the Supreme Court, do you still support this president? Because what's happening now with 2 major court decisions in a row, 2 defeats at the hands of so-called conservative justices, this is not looking good for the White House right now. I'm just going to tell you, not looking good for the White House. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. The other big story we are following, developments out of Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm going to say some things about what's happening there, because I have a theory about what's going on, and it's something that is very controversial, and a lot of people probably agree with what I'm going to tell you here, but they're afraid to say it. You know, there are a lot of people that say race had a role in what happened at that Wendy's parking lot when Rayshawn Brooks attacked the police officers, beat them to a pulp, stole their taser weapon, tried to escape, then turned around and aimed at the police officer's head with the taser, and then was subsequently gunned down. I'm going to tell you something here, folks. What happened to Mr. Brooks is a tragedy. But what's happening to that police officer? That is a travesty. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation was assigned the task of investigating what happened in that parking lot. And we now know that no one from the Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney's Office bothered to contact the GBI to tell them, hey, we're having a press conference. Hey, we're going to charge this police officer with felony murder. We're going to charge him with 10 other counts. He could be eligible for the death penalty. Nobody from the district attorney's office bothered to call the GBI to give them a heads up. As a matter of fact, if they had called the GBI, the GBI would have told the Fulton County District Attorney's Office, hey, don't charge him with anything yet because we're still investigating. We haven't concluded our investigation. So why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that you have a rogue district attorney in Atlanta, Georgia, threatening to execute an Atlanta police officer when all of the evidence has not even been compiled? What about due process? Are the police officers allowed due process in America anymore? Or was this police officer the sacrificial lamb, sacrificed on the altar of political correctness so the city will not burn down? And by the way, before all you folks got, and I know who you folks are, we've got a lot of these liberal lurkers living in their mother's basements, sweaty, pimply-faced, pajama boy snowflakes, writing up stories and taking things we say on this show out of context. When I say burning down, that is not a racial statement, because as we know from the videos and the photographs, the people burning down the buildings are woke white folk. make sure you get that quote correct, Media Matters. So here we are, and I'm going to save the controversial part of what I've got to say for the after the commercial break. But here we are in the United States of America, where a police officer who was attacked, beaten, had a weapon aimed at his head, and that guy is now facing the death penalty. Who in their right mind would want to be a police officer in the United States of America? Who in their right mind would want to patrol the streets of Atlanta, Georgia at this very moment, knowing that they could very well end up in jail for doing their job? So we're going to take your calls on this. Last night I just said what was on my mind. And I believe it's time for every law enforcement officer in America to walk off the job. You know what? Let Black Lives Matter patrol the country for a week or so. Let's see how that works out. Let the mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, and the district attorney and their cronies, let them patrol the streets and see how that works out. But shame on Atlanta for what happened to this officer. Again, Mr. Brooks, a tragedy. And if you listen to the mainstream media, you're going to hear that he's this loving, caring father, that he was just a good, decent fellow who just randomly fell asleep in the parking lot in the drive-thru of the Wendy's. Well, that's not exactly accurate. And we know that the reason why this guy ran off when he was being placed under arrest is because he was on probation. And he has a very long rap sheet. Does that excuse anything? No, it does not. But context matters, folks. Why is it this guy took off? Why was there such a violent reaction to being placed under arrest? Well, now we know he was on probation. Had he been arrested, he would have been sent right back to jail. And what about the part of being a loving, caring father? His rap sheet has a long list of charges: false imprisonment, simple battery to a family member, felony cruelty to children. Now, I'm not casting dispersions because people say, well, Todd, how dare you? How dare you bring up that man's record? Well, you know what? They're bringing up the records of the police officers. Anytime they said something remotely cross to another person, they got a write-up. And that's all out there for public consumption every night on CNN and MSNBC. But they're trying to portray this guy as just an innocent victim, minding his own business, sleeping off whatever booze he was drinking, the daiquiris, the margaritas, whatever, in the drive-thru of the Wendy's. And these two white cops just randomly came up, targeted this guy, and tried to throw him in jail. And we know that is not what happened. Context matters. The truth matters. The truth matters on this radio program. And I say, you know what? Maybe we ought to teach this country a lesson. Maybe we ought to teach this country how important law enforcement is in this country. And the only way to do that is just step back and let nature take its course. 844-747-8868. This is our toll-free number here, folks. 844-747-8868. 8868, our website, ToddStearns.com, the live show blog, up and running, all sorts of great stuff for you to check out there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Stearns.
Right in, getting a little bit of blowback over on the Facebook live stream here. Tammy says, Todd, shooting a man in the back as he's running away is murder. I don't care who you are. But Tammy, he wasn't running away. Well, he wasn't shot in the back. Well, he was shot in the back, but he was turning around and firing a taser at the head of the police officer when he was shot. Go back and look at the video. We're talking about we're talking about 2 seconds here, folks. He turned around, aimed the taser at the police officer. The officer returned fire, and that entire incident happened in 2 seconds. 2 seconds. What were they supposed to do? Let the guy escape with the taser? possibly putting other folks in harm's way? All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Don, South Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hi, Don, what's on your mind?
Well, thanks for taking my call. What's on my mind is, you know, we don't take into account the fact that this guy is living in a situation and an environment where the tension already exists. Any encounter from this point on with police officers in a confrontational sort of way has to be viewed in light of that. And from a purely Christian perspective, we can't presuppose what this man's thoughts were, what his actions were. We were not there, and we don't know what was actually going through his mind. So we have to pray for the police officer, and we've got to pray for that family as well.
Oh, well, no doubt about that, Don. And again, this is, again, and I was very clear to say this was a tragedy. And certainly the family is grieving, but the reality is the person responsible for the death of Rayshon Brooks is Rayshon Brooks. That's who's responsible here. Do you agree with that?
I do not. I believe that Rayshon Brooks had a significant part to play in this situation. But to simply say that this was not a combination of factors, the systemic problems that we have in this country, the escalated tensions that exist right now, the past history of racial injustice in this country, especially.
Okay, let's stop there. There's a lot to unpack here, Don. I want you to finish your thought here, but let me jump in here. You talk about systemic racism. All right, is systemic racism to blame for this guy beating his child? Is systemic racism responsible for him going after and beating up a family member? I mean, he's got a pretty long track record here of doing some pretty bad things.
And as we all do, there is no measure of sin versus sin. His track record, what he was and what he has done in the past, that can be extrapolated upon any of us at any time. The things that we have done don't necessarily make us who we are. They contribute to who we should hope to become.
Don, let me ask you this, because we're coming up on a break here. Sure. Let me ask you this question. If Rayshon Brooks had put his hand behind his back and had been taken into custody, would he still be alive today? If he had complied with the police officers.
Because George Floyd is not alive today.
It's debatable. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
And
George Floyd, absolutely.
Dead.
George Floyd had an officer, some sort of a rogue officer, with his knee on his neck. Are you telling me that you're comparing what happened in Minneapolis to what happened in Atlanta?
No, but you introduced a new set of circumstances. You said if, and I simply responded to the if. No, I didn't interject the new variable. You did. So,
the answer is yes, Don. Yes, he would be alive because he complied with the officers. He complied with the officers. All right, folks, you may disagree with Don. Hey, look, I appreciate your call, Don. And I wish we had more time to chat, but the computer's going to cut me off here. But again, if you disagree with me, you go right to the top of the list here, folks. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. To the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us, folks. 844-747-8868. Getting back to the phones in just a minute. Want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program, the founder of the Wounded Blue, served 33 years on the force. Randy Sutton joins us. Randy, good to have you with us today.
I appreciate you having me on. Thanks again.
Hey, look, I want to get your reaction to what happened yesterday. This announcement coming out of Atlanta, the rogue district attorney announcing felony murder charges. There were 11 counts in all. This guy, this police officer, could be facing the death penalty. And yet the Georgia Bureau of Investigation says, hey, wait a second, we haven't even finished the investigation yet.
This is a dark day for law enforcement, I must tell you. That all eyes are now on Atlanta because of what has taken place here. The Now, I remember that I spent 33 years as a cop, and part of that was I was in charge of the advanced training section of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, the ninth largest department in the country. And use of force, police use of force, is one of those topics that I've been involved in for many years. In viewing the all of the surveillance tapes and the videotapes, I, along with more than, and I convened with about 10 use of force experts, all that have years of experience. We all determined that this was absolutely a justifiable shooting. The fact that this suspect pointed the taser at the officers and was then shot, it would be, by any stretch of the imagination, a clear-cut case of self-defense. And the fact that the district attorney, Paul Howard, did a huge grandstand performance is really what this was, in order to make this announcement. Now, it just maybe it's just a coincidence that he's in a major runoff election, do you think? That might have something to do with it.
Or the fact that he's facing some sort of a criminal investigation himself.
Yeah, isn't that the ultimate irony? So the Georgia Bureau of Investigation is investigating him right now for embezzling or for self-appropriating over $140,000 and paying himself an extra salary illegally. So he's facing indictment. And what does he do? He deflects all of that and is clearly pandering for votes during this runoff, and without caring one little bit about justice or about the truth. And that is probably one of the things that has gut-punched law enforcement all over this country.
Randy, I'm curious if you're hearing from any of your brothers in blue there in the Atlanta area. I was getting reports from my sources in Georgia law enforcement that a lot of guys came down with a bad case of blue flu. I don't know what it's like today, but what were you hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. That's correct. So almost immediately after this announcement, officers in a number of zones either just refused to answer calls or drove their squad cars to the their stations and just dropped off the keys and walked off. So a number of the zones were not covered at all. They just said, you know what, you want to live without cops? Well, you're going to be careful what you wish for, Atlanta. You just might get it.
And you know what, Randy? Let the mayor patrol the streets. Let Black Lives Matter patrol the streets, and people can understand just how important law enforcement is. I don't know. You know, I'm just a civilian here. I'm just a talk radio host. But I got to tell you, it angers me because I've covered enough stories involving police officers who were gunned down in the line of duty to know that every single day those men and women go out there. They don't make a lot of money. They put their lives on the line every single day, and their prayer is that they come back to their loved one alive. And it seems to me the only reason this guy was charged in Atlanta is because he came back home alive after his shift.
You're exactly right. I mean, here's why this is such a dark time for law enforcement. In essence, what the district attorney said to every American law enforcement officer is your life does not matter. Because if you can't even defend your own life, literally what he was saying is, we expect you just to be shot with that taser, and then whatever will be, will be. It's unconscionable. It's reckless. It is quite literally tearing the heart out of the American law enforcement officer. I can tell you this from, you know, the Wounded Blue assists injured and disabled officers, whether those injuries are physical or emotional. And I have never seen officers that feel abandoned and alone as they do now, and it is going to lead to additional post-traumatic stress injury, and we are working diligently to try and assist these officers. That's why we set up a GoFundMe just to help officers who have been injured in the recent violence, which numbers, the numbers are astounding. Over 1,000 police officers have been seriously injured in just the last couple of weeks because of the unrest in America. And no one is stepping up to help them except our organization, the Wounded Blue.
And Randy, I'm just shocked because, you know, Don Lemon, Wolf Blitzer, Rachel Maddow, I don't hear any of these people on the cable networks talking about those numbers you just shared with us. This is the first time I'm hearing these numbers, over 1,000 police officers injured out there.
That's just this week. I'm going to give you an astounding number now, and it's one that you won't hear on any mainstream media. And how many officers were physically assaulted just last year? And that number is around 57,000. 57,000 law enforcement officers shot, stabbed, beaten, run over, struck with objects, struck with bricks. And I got to tell you, it's heartbreaking to see how abandoned these men and women are once they become injured and disabled. And so we're fighting an uphill battle. I have a peer team made up of all cops who have been shot, stabbed, beaten, run over, screwed up, and screwed over. And they are working literally night and day to help these injured and disabled officers. It is truly a true uphill battle, and we need help. We really do. We need help. The men and women of law enforcement want America to believe in them, because the vast majority of law enforcement officers are quite literally out there every single day willing to place their lives in jeopardy for their communities. I mean, we have well over 100 law enforcement officers this year so far who have given their lives in the line of duty. And I guarantee you, you have not heard their names, have you?
No, sir. You're absolutely right about that, Randy. Real quick before we let you go, another concern here. I mean, how many well-qualified individuals are no longer going to consider a career in law enforcement because of what they see take place on the televisions? And I'm wondering if they're going to end up having to go to the bottom of the pile to get people, you know, onto the streets and to patrol neighborhoods.
You've absolutely hit on a critical issue. The retention of law enforcement officers is in the toilet. People are quitting. 12 Atlanta cops quit in the last couple of days. A number of Minneapolis police officers, almost 100 NYPD officers around the country. So we're seeing people leaving the field. And then we are also seeing more than even before this insanity happened, recruitment was down 60% around the country. That's an astounding number. 60% less people trying to get the job, because look, why would they? What is the attraction about a job that pays so little in most places? An entry level is about $36,000 a year around the country, and then taking these enormous physical risks, these horrendous emotional risks, and now they're talking, even some mainstream Democrats talking about removing qualified immunity, which will be the death knell of law enforcement.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Randy, again, like you mentioned, very dark days for law enforcement in this country. TheWoundedBlue.org, ladies and gentlemen. Got to check out that website. Randy Sutton doing some great work for the men and women who wear that police uniform in this country. TheWoundedBlue.org. Randy, appreciate you. We'll get you back on soon.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Wow. Folks, those numbers are astounding. 57,000 police officers assaulted last year alone. 57,000. You don't see those numbers. You don't see those stories on the cable news channels, do you? Now, I want to say something before we go to break. We're going to open up the phone lines. But I just want to throw this out here as a theory. Because if you watch the mainstream media, you watch the Democrats, they're out there telling you that cops are targeting Black Americans. That's what they're telling us. But in this particular instance, in Atlanta, Georgia, is it possible that the Black mayor who demanded that this white officer be fired, is it possible that the Black district attorney who filed charges against this white police officer before the investigation was completed, is it possible that race played a factor in their decisions? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're with Todd Starnes.
Folks, coming up a little bit later, our good friend, Congressman Andy Biggs, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, is going to drop by. He's got a lot to say about the Supreme Court decision. Also, Dr. Fauci says doesn't look like football may happen this fall. This is insane. And so not only that, now Major League Baseball, it's a big mess. Congressman Chuck Fleischman wrote a column about baseball and why we've got to have baseball in America. We're going to talk to the congressman about that a little bit later as well. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. Again, the number to call, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Gadsden, Alabama. I've been to Gadsden a time or two. Jody is on the line. Hi, Jody. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, thank you so much for taking my phone call. I've just got a couple of questions. From my understanding, this officer has been charged with felony murder. That's like armed robbery versus robbery. In other words, the police officer committed a crime before he murdered, supposedly, this man. And let me also say, being from the South, being from Georgia, and I already went through riots to begin with back in the 70s, when this police officer walks, what's going to happen then? It's going to be another hole. I mean, when does it stop, Todd? What, I mean, we're praying for our nation. We're praying for our leaders. The left is so determined to hate America. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. I mean, to see this officer wake up one day and now he's got charges. He's got a family, too.
Well, he does. And by all indications, and I know they said, you know, he had some blemishes on his record, that, you know, there were complaints or whatever. And look, I don't doubt that at all. Because when you're a police officer, a lot of people are going to complain about you. I have no doubt that there were people who did that. But the reality is, in this situation, Jody, based on everything I saw, and I talked to a lot of law enforcement experts here, they're saying this guy did both of the officers did everything by the book. And yet here he is facing a possible death penalty charge. That's what's so outrageous here, Jody. This is all about politics. This is not about justice. And you're absolutely right, Jody. What's going to happen when a jury refuses to convict this officer? Atlanta's going to burn down.
Absolutely. And, you know, Todd, we're going through such horrible times right now. And with this situation, it's just heartbreaking to see, you know, two families hurting. But just like you said, I mean, don't give an excuse, but this man wasn't a saint. And this man had, you know, he was on probation. He was running because he was going back to jail and do some time. And, you know, he was fleeing. And God only knows what he could have done drunk to any citizen. You know, I mean, it's just appalling to think that because of politics, and let me also add this one thing. I watched it live, this district attorney talk about this cop hitting this man and not giving him treatment. Let me explain to the public that if they had that on video, they would have took that to town and back. I do not believe that. That man was out to... I mean, I couldn't even believe what I was hearing, because if he had proof that this officer kicked him and stood on him and all of this, they would have put that front and center, Todd.
There's no proof, Jody. There was no proof. There was a photograph, but there was no video, and there's no evidence that the guy's kicking, you know, the police officer's kicking the man in the photo. And we know that because if you listen to the video, if you listen to the audio on that video, Jody, you hear the police officer saying, "Keep breathing, Mr. Brooks, keep breathing, Mr. Brooks." So, I mean, through the entire thing, these officers acted professionally. It is a tragedy. what happened to that man, but it is a travesty what is happening to those two police officers. By the way, one of the officers already turned himself in, waiting for Officer Rolfe, who fired the fatal shot, to turn himself in. That's going to happen sometime in the next couple of hours. Tragedy. Jody, great call. Give us a holler back. It's been a while. Great to hear you listening to us from Gaston, Alabama. All right, let's go to Alonzo in Texas. Alonzo, what's going on?
Yeah, hi. At this point, I find it very difficult to sympathize with cops right now. I mean,
why is that?
Well, you know, during this whole pandemic thing, they've been arresting people for going to church, not wearing masks, you know, being isolated in an open area, and to me, that's not right. You know that, and I know they're saying that they're only doing their jobs, but I mean, I cannot find myself to sympathize with these cops.
No, well, look, I mean, now you raise an interesting point here, Alonzo, and I think we talked about this on the show, a couple of weeks ago. There are some police officers out there who refuse to comply with those orders, and I hear you. When an officer is intentionally violating and knowingly violating the Constitution, that's a problem. But at the same time, Alonzo, when you're out there and you're watching police officers getting beaten up and getting battered with rocks and bottles, and you know that's uncalled for. And we have a responsibility as law-abiding citizens to stand up and fight for the police.
Well, I agree. I mean, I don't want any violence towards anybody. Cops should not be violent towards, you know, civilians, and civilians should not be violent towards cops. But, you know, but I also, this whole immunity, from a cop being immune from discipline, I mean, I don't like that at all. I mean, I just don't like those no-knock warrants also. I mean, it's just, I don't believe any of this is about race. Well, the mainstream media, of course, is spinning it and making it about race issue, but I don't believe most of these cops aren't racist. But you know what? It's just, I cannot see myself, I don't know.
No. Look, Alonzo, I hear you, and we're coming up on on a break here, Alonzo. But to your point, there are already procedures in place to address those. So if a police officer does something wrong, violates your constitutional rights, you've got recourse. You can fight back. But what happened in Atlanta, Georgia? I mean, Randy Sutton is right. That district attorney just said that the life of every police officer in America doesn't matter. All right, we'll be right back. Stick around, everybody.